Come please in the Word of God to the Gospel of Mark and the chapter 6, please. Mark's Gospel and the chapter 6. I thank the oversight for the invitation to come along with you this morning and indeed for the drive-in service later on this evening. Mark chapter 6, we're breaking in at the verse 45 this morning. We're going to look at the hazards of a hardened heart. The hazards of a hardened heart. Mark chapter 6 and the verse 45. It's a familiar passage of scripture, I'm sure, to many this morning. The episode of Christ walking upon the Sea of Galilee, but we'll be looking at it from perhaps a different perspective than we normally would. Mark 6 and the verse 45. The Word of God says, "Straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people." This is immediately after the feeding of the 5,000. Verse 46, "And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Amen. We trust that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning. Soren Kierkegaard was a Danish philosopher. He delved into theology a little bit as well. And on one occasion he gave a parable about a village of ducks. He spoke about Mr. Duck waking up in Ducksville on a Sunday morning, and he waddled out of bed. He waddled down the stairs of his house, and he waddled down the main street where the rest of the ducks were waddling towards the duck church. And they waddled up the steps, they waddled down the aisle to their seats where they sat down. Soon after, the duck choir waddled in from the side. Pastor Duck waddled in from the back room up the pulpit steps. And during his sermon, Pastor Duck told the ducks, "Ducks, God has given you wings that you may fly. God has given you wings for his glory and for your benefit. No walls can confine you. No fences can contain you. Enjoy the great blessings that God has given to you in these wings." All the ducks shouted amen. And at the end of the meeting, they all just waddled back home. I wonder, is that a picture this morning of a child of God here today? There are many people, there's many believers that can sit in meetings. They can be touched in that moment by the Word of God. They can shake the preacher's hand and thank him for such a powerful and such a wonderful sermon. But by the time they sat down to the Sunday dinner, it's been in one ear and out the other. How often does the Word of God really take no effect in the hearts of even the child of God? You know, James encourages us not just to be hearers of the Word, but doers of the word as well. And he likens one who is just a hearer to someone who looks in a mirror and turns away and forgets immediately what it is he was looking at. And as we come to the disciples this morning, we can see that they find themselves in a very similar position. We even read of them of having their hearts hardened. Now, we often think about the sinner's heart being hardened to the gospel. We can think of those that we've met in our own lives who are so adamant that they will never come to Christ. And as time passes and as the years go by and as gospel opportunity after opportunity presents itself, they become more firm in their resistance to the things of God. And we talk about the sinner's heart being hardened. We read in Exodus about Pharaoh's heart being hardened. We read of his heart being hardened. We read of God hardening his heart. We read of Pharaoh hardening his own heart. And as each of those plagues came upon him and upon the land of Egypt, the next one worse than the last. Again, we read of Pharaoh just growing more and more adamant on not letting the people of Israel go. We read of their hearts being hardened. Here we read of the disciples' hearts being hardened. And whenever we think perhaps of a backslider, whenever we think of a believer's heart being hardened, often we can think about those who have turned aside to the world for a little while. Those who return back to those past sins that they've been saved from, those past sins that perhaps they once lived in, and turn away from the Lord before the Lord graciously restores them. But here in the verses that we've read, we don't read of any of that from the disciples. They haven't gone back into the world. They weren't in a backslidden state from what you and I would normally call a backslidden state. But nonetheless, we read that their hearts were hardened. And so if that was the case of the disciples, if the disciples were able to find themselves in a position where their hearts were hardened, it means that you and I this morning also aren't immune from such a position. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that if any man thinks he standeth, to take heed lest he fall. And perhaps there are some that think, well, I will never have a hardened heart. I will never be in a position where the disciples find themselves in. Well, as we study it this morning and as we look at the hardened hearts of the disciples, we'll see that it often comes whenever you're not aware of it. And so we'll look this morning at the hazards of a hardened heart and what can come as a result in the life of a believer for those whose hearts are perhaps even starting to harden and grow calloused to the things of God. And as we read of the disciples here, as we read of their hearts being hardened, we first of all see that a result of a hardened heart is a frantic life. It's a frantic life because as we read of the situation the disciples find themselves in, they're far from peaceful. They're far from being in control. They're far from resting in the care and in the concern and the power of God. We find themselves in such a chaotic position. We read of them being frantic and Christ sees the position they find themselves in. The storm has come upon the Sea of Galilee. They're toiling and rowing. The wind is contrary unto them. They're in such a very perilous position. Now, even remembering that some of these disciples were well experienced fishermen, they knew what it would have been to be caught up in a storm on the Sea of Galilee at different times of the year. This just would have been a normal occurrence to them. But even for them, they were in such a frantic position, found themselves in such a worried state that they didn't really know what to do. And even as we'll see in that position, their hearts are still hardened to the Lord. See the energy that they spend here as we think of a frantic life. Again, the wind is contrary unto them. Christ sees them toiling and rowing. And you can just picture the scene of how frantic the disciples were here. Even those that were the experienced fishermen wondering what on earth they're going to do. And as they tried to do different maneuvers, try to perform different acts to try and even steady the ship, try and make some progress at least to go to Bethsaida to get to the other side, it's as if they're making 1 foot forward and being pushed 10 feet back. They're really not getting anywhere and it's just getting worse for them. This is the fourth watch of the night, between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. So you can picture how dark it would have been, perhaps even just some sliver of sunlight over the horizon bursting through. And such a frantic position the disciples had found themselves in. Everything's going against them. There's nothing more that they can physically do. Again, even for these strong fishermen who would have known perhaps what to have been able to do in times past, here they can do no more. They put their hands up and they're doing whatever they can. They're spending so much energy. They're getting no further. They find themselves in such a frantic position. And yet we never read of them here calling out unto the name of the Lord. You know, this isn't the first time that Christ would have calmed the Sea of Galilee. He had already calmed the storm before. And it was the occasion whenever the Lord was asleep at the bottom of the boat. The disciples were concerned and they came to him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? It was that occasion where Christ stood up and said, peace be still, and the wind ceased and the waves were calmed. It was that occasion where the disciples said to themselves, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? They had that past experience of God calming the sea. They had that past knowledge that if the Lord was willing to do it, he'd be able to do it. All he had to do was say, peace be still. All he had to do was say the word and the sea would be calm. They had known that before. They had experienced that before. It wasn't just hearsay. It wasn't just they heard it from a testimony from somebody else and thought to themselves, boy, I wish I was there that day. They had known it themselves. And yet here they are finding themselves in a very similar spot. And their hearts are hardened. And they find themselves in a frantic life because they forgot the Lord. I wonder this morning, is there a heart here? And it's been a frantic life. It's been a frantic season over the last few months. Has there been so much energy spent on your own plans, on your own ideas? Have you been so preoccupied in what you're trying to do and trying to navigate your own way out of things? While the Lord is there and not to bless. while the Lord is willing and able to intervene. Perhaps it's a similar circumstance to how he has worked before. And you've known what God can do. You've seen what God can do. You've felt what God can do. You have that past experience of how God has intervened, how God has worked exceeding abundantly above all you could have ever asked or thought. But here you're in a similar spot. Is there a heart that's hardened this morning? Is it a frantic life because of that hardened heart? Trying to navigate circumstances in your own strength. See the wonderful promises God has given to his people. Paul says in Philippians 4 in the verse 19, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." What a wonderful pool of resources we have this morning. How God will meet our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Believer this morning, his power is infinite. Think of that old hymn where it says, "Out of the infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again." Believer, there'll never be a time where God will say, "I can't help you here." There will never be a time where God will be beyond his power. But he will always be able to intervene. And whenever we have such a wonderful place where God can help us, why would we neglect it? See the disciples here, how they had known how God could help, but they've neglected us. Because as we've read, their heart was hardened. Not just forgetting the past time God had helped them in the Sea of Galilee. As we said, this is straight away following they had left the feeding of the 5,000. Only a matter of hours before. Christ had done a wonderful miracle. The only miracle recorded in all four of the Gospels. And only a few hours after that, it says in the verse 52, they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Have you forgotten what God can do, believer? Is there a hardened heart that's just been so frantic recently? Trying to work your own way through it. That's where the disciples have found themselves. So preoccupied on trying to navigate through this problem their own way. Forgetting what God had done before. That they'd rather spend their energy. They'd rather be so fearful and so afraid of where they are. Rather than call out for God to help them. Such a frantic position the disciples find themselves in. Now, even whenever it comes to serving the Lord. Whenever it comes to living for the Lord and serving him, it can be a frantic life. There can still be a hardened heart whenever it comes to serving the Lord. Whenever we think of Mary and Martha, whenever Christ came to visit them, and Mary sat at the Savior's feet and listened to all that he had to say, Martha was so preoccupied with the practicalities of the Savior's visit, and she brought that concern to the Lord. What was it the Lord said to her? "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Martha was so concerned about serving the Lord, she forgot about that thing that was needful. I wonder recently, child of God, have you been serving him so much, it's just been frantic. And rather than having a fervent spirit serving the Lord, it's just been a frantic spirit serving the Lord. Doing all you can to serve him and forgetting that thing that's needful. Are you spending the energy? Has it been a frantic season? Is there a heart that's hardened there? That just needs a fresh touch from the Lord? And spending that little bit more time with him. See the energy that they spend as we think of this frantic life. See the emotional state they find themselves in as well. Because the more energy they spend, the more fearful they become, the more they do their own things, the more they rely on their own works and trust in their own understanding to see themselves through. And the further they see themselves getting away from Bethsaida, the more they see the storm growing, the more emotional they'll become. The more worried and anxious they become. Christ says in verse 48, he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. That word toiling is the same word that's used elsewhere in the New Testament, meaning tormented. It's the same word that's used in Luke chapter 16 of the rich man opening his eyes in hell, being tormented in this flame. It's the same word that's used of the centurion's servant that was brought to the Lord, where the centurion said, "My servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." It's the same word that's used of one that was demon-possessed, who was brought to the Lord, who was being tormented. And that's how much the disciples were putting themselves through. They were tormented. They were just ran through. They were just drained. There was nothing more they could do. They were putting themselves through so much trouble. And they found themselves in such a state, in such a not only physical but mental position. And even here, they've still forgotten the Lord. And they don't bring this concern to Him. It's wonderful this morning that we have a God who invites us and indeed commands us to cast all our care upon Him because He careth for us. We're very good at telling the Lord all about our concerns. We're very good at telling God those things that bother us and those things that discourage us, those things that upset us. But we're very good at bringing them back with us again. And whenever Peter tells us to cast our care upon Him, he doesn't just mean to tell God about our concerns, but to leave them with Him. And trust that He will undertake as He sees fit. That He will work. That He will see His people through. How Christ could have done that here for the disciples. How He had done it before. How He was willing and able to do it again. But the disciples were just so overwhelmed that their eyes off the Lord and their heart was hardened. Such peace they missed out on in this season of life. Even for these brief few hours, such peace they forfeited. Such needless pain they had to bear. All because they did not carry even this little thing to God in prayer. Is that the heart of one this morning? As you look back over recent months, perhaps even years, and you've seen the peace and the contentment you've missed out on because you failed to bring those things to the Lord. Is there a heart that's hardened this morning? Is there a heart that's broken? Is there a heart that's just exhausted? See that the Lord is still here, believer, even today. Call out unto Him. We know whenever Christ was speaking on the Sermon on the Mount and He was showing the disciples and those that were listening to Him the care and the concern that God has for His people, He said to them in Matthew 6:27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto His stature? If you think hard enough, can you make yourself a foot taller? No, you can't. In other words, there's things beyond your control this morning. There's things way beyond my control. And if you and I can do nothing about them, there's no point worrying about them. Because God will see it happen. And God will undertake. Oh, how much worry do you and I often put ourselves through? I wonder, is that because there is that hardened heart? See that a hardened heart can bring a frantic life, as we see here in the disciples. See, a hardened heart can bring a fearful life as well. Because not only are the disciples frantic, not only are they so busy trying to find themselves through, not only are they failing here, but that franticness brings that fear. And we see the disciples are so afraid. We see they're terrified of not only the storm they find themselves in, but something else that happens. And it's very strange that the disciples' fear seems to grow whenever Christ comes onto the scene. It says in the verse, at the end of the verse 48, Christ was walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. But when they saw Him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. Here was the Lord. And He was here to help them. But the disciples were so overwhelmed with fear. Their hearts were so hardened. That whenever they saw something coming towards them, they supposed it had been a spirit. That's how fearful the disciples were. See, this fearful life causes the disciples to guess. Their hearts are so hardened to the Lord, they're no longer living in faith. They're no longer living in comfort. In being able to trust and rely on the Lord. They're just guessing what's going on. They're not able to truly understand what it is that's happening. It's only a few hours, remember, from when they last saw the Lord. This isn't after months and years of having a cold heart to the things of God. This is a matter of hours. And as this figure comes towards them, they supposed it had been a spirit. See, the Saviour was so far off their minds, so far off their hearts, that they were now fearful for no real reason at all. How even the things that were supposed to bring them comfort here in the Saviour caused them so much anxiety. You know, before the people of Israel went into the promised land, God laid before them the different blessings and curses that would come upon them for their times of obedience and their times for disobedience. And He warned them during their times of disobedience, Leviticus 26, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the land of their enemies. The sound of a shaking leaf shall chase them. And they shall flee as fleeing from a sword. And they shall fall when none pursueth. And God was warning His Old Testament people. Whenever one's hearts and one's eyes are off the Lord, you'll fear anything. You'll be prone to anything you'll be fearful for everything. How that excessive worry and that excessive anxiety stems from being distant from God. We can all have our doubts. We can all have our concerns. We can all not be able to truly understand what's happening and yet still take that step in faith and trust that the Lord will do what he says he will do. But here the disciples are far beyond that. Here Christ is coming towards them and they're just guessing what's going to happen next. I know it's not confined, this particular example, to younger believers, but it just seems to be the biggest cause of concern whenever younger believers are trying to figure out what it is they're going to do in the world and try and find out what that next step is. Of course, it can be any believer here this morning trying to understand what that next step in the will of God is. I wonder, has there been one this morning and you've just been guessing recently? Have you just been taking a blind stab in the dark and hoping that you've got it right? Have you been guessing like the disciples here? I wonder, has the heart been right with God recently? Have you known his word? Have you known what it is to spend time with him? Are you able to hear that still small voice lead and guide the way in which he would have you to go? Because the disciples here don't have that confidence. The disciples here don't have that comfort. They're just going on a whim. They're living their life by sight. They're walking by sight rather than faith. And they're trusting their own emotions. I'm sure there's times as a believer you can look back in your life and see there has been times where you've trusted your emotions. You've been led by your feelings and it's the worst thing you've ever done. Because it's just been a disaster. And that's why Paul instructs us to walk by faith and not by sight. Again, for those times where we don't understand what it is God is doing, yet still being able to trust him and take him at his word. That's a heart that's in tune with God. That's a heart that trusts the Lord. But here the disciples' hearts were hardened. They had a fearful life. And because they were so fearful, they just started to guess what was going on. How they guessed what was happening to them. I'm a prisoner for alliteration this morning, so I trust you'll forgive me for this next word beginning with G, because I couldn't find any other word. They gurned. They guessed. And they gurned. Look at what it says in verse 49. When they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. Again, here is the Lord. The one who had helped them in times past. The one who would be able to help them again. And they're so fearful that they just refuse any help. They cried out and they were troubled. In the verse 50, more literally, it means they were terrified. Could you imagine being terrified in this instance with the Lord standing right there at the boat? But the disciples' hearts were so hardened that they were just fearful of anything. See how fearful a life can happen with a hardened heart. Even in the hearts here of the disciples, how they weren't rejoicing at the fact the Savior was there. How at the sight of him they weren't thinking back to that previous time they had been in the storm on the Sea of Galilee. They weren't rejoicing that the Savior was here to help them once again. No, they gurned, they cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. You and I have a God of fellowship this morning. You and I have a God that longs to spend time with his people. How often we neglect that time. Those times of disobedience that can cause us to hide from the Lord. Even thinking back to the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they hid from the presence of the Lord. They were afraid of spending time with God. They knew they had disobeyed. And the last place they wanted to be in was in company with the Lord. How often, dear child of God, can that be the case for you? Perhaps after a time of disobedience, even after having that time of a hardened heart, of a coldness of heart, the last place you want to be is in a building like this. The last thing you want to do is spend time with the Lord. See the results of a hardened heart today. See this fearful life that can come. Here God was about to help them. Here the Lord was about to intervene and they're still so filled with fear. They guessed, they gurned, they gave up. It's not recorded in Mark's instance, or in Mark's record, but this is the same occasion where Peter stepped out on the water and started to sink. Matthew chapter 14, it records that episode with Peter. Whenever Christ came to them and said, "It is I, be not afraid," Peter answered him, Matthew 14, in the verse 28, Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee in the water." He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Well, Peter was in this company in Mark chapter 8 that was fearful. He saw the Lord, he heard the Lord speaking to him, and it seems as if Peter's starting to grow in faith once again. It's as if he's about to be the example to the rest of the disciples to take the Lord at his word and do so in such a powerful way that he'll walk on the water to meet the Lord. But he saw the wind. He saw the waves. Just as he had done a few moments before. And he started to sink. How even whenever Christ was on the picture, even whenever Christ was there standing right before him, from Peter's perspective, the problems just seemed so much bigger than his God. Believer, the devil can give us a very small view of the Lord. The devil can do whatever he can to distract us and to hold us back in our trust and our dependence on him. How many occasions has the Lord just seemed so small? But in reality, it's just because we're distant from him. See how a fearful life can come as a result of a hardened heart. See how a frantic life can come as a result of a hardened heart. See lastly this morning, and this is really the crux of the matter here from the disciples, a hardened heart means a forgetful life. Because the reason the disciples were so frantic, the reason the disciples were so fearful, is because they were forgetful. They considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. How they had forgotten many things about the Lord. Even in those few hours they had spent away from him. And as the storm rages, they have no real recollection as to how God was able to work in their hearts and work in their lives. First of all, they forgot the word of God. Because Christ had told them to go over the other side onto Bethsaida. Christ told the disciples he would meet them there. And so from the disciples' perspective, with that word of God, they had no reason to doubt they wouldn't get there. If Christ told them he would meet them in Bethsaida, then they would meet in Bethsaida. But because their hearts were so hardened, they no longer remembered the great word of God. They forgot the promises of God. Believer, whenever the storm rages round about us, whenever we find ourselves in troubles, how easy it is to forget the promises of God. How easy it is for the word of God to slip out of our hearts and slip out of our minds. I wonder, has that been because the heart's starting to grow a little bit calloused and a little bit hardened? You know, Peter says in the second epistle, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." Exceeding great and precious promises we have this morning, dear believer. How we can take him at his word, how we can trust him with such full assurance and such confidence. I wonder, has there been those doubts in recent times because there is a hardened heart? Again, thinking back not just to the miracle of the loaves here, but to that previous time where God had calmed the sea. And how Christ came to them before and said similar words, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And how they're still fearful. But how we thank God this morning that his faithfulness to us isn't dependent on how much we trust in him, but how he takes such care and concern for us. See the disciples here. See Christ walking upon the sea. Look at what it says in the verse 48. "He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by." Oh, believer, think back to how God has helped us. How many times was he close to walking on by, but such is the love and the care he has for you and he has for me, that he saw a concern and he met us at our need. Even with our fear, even with how frantic we were, even with how much we doubted him, still he drew near and helped his people. How we can always rely on him to help us. It says in Job chapter 5 in the verse 19, he shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea in 7. There shall no evil touch thee. Just whenever you think the times that God has helped you is past. Just whenever you think back to all those times that God has helped, and you think to yourself, and the devil lies to us and says, well, surely he's done with you now. Surely he'll not help you out anymore. Surely he's given up on you. Yea, in 6 there shall no evil touch thee. How the Lord's faithfulness to his people never expires. Even in those times where we doubt him. Even in those times where we forget him. How the disciples forgot the word of God. How they forgot the witness of God as well. Because again they see this figure coming towards them and they supposed it had been a spirit. They forgot what the Lord looked like. They forgot what it was to see the Lord. Their hearts were so hardened, they could no longer distinguish what was of God and what wasn't. The things of the world and the things of God just seemed to intertwine. Because again, even after a few hours, their hearts were hardened. Again, is there a believer here trying to navigate through life? Is there someone here trying to understand where God would have you to go next? And everything just seems to be the same. I wonder, is there a hardened heart there? And yet the Lord is able to draw near, and the Lord is able to restore the joy of salvation once again. He's able to touch that heart. He's able to melt it once again and make it comfortable. Make it sensitive to the things of God. How he never forsakes his people. How he doesn't give up on us. Even if there are times where we give up on him. How they forgot the witness of God, the word of God. They forgot the works of God. Again, they forgot all that God had done in times past. They considered not the miracle of the loaves. You know, whenever we ask each other about some of the miracles that Christ performed, whenever you ask the boys and girls in the Good News Club to name some of the miracles, one of the very first answers they give, feeding the 5,000. Feeding the 5,000. Whenever you think of those miracles that Christ performed, we often think to ourselves about which one we would have liked to have witnessed the most. I'm sure a very popular answer is the feeding of the 5,000. Just to see how Christ was able to do it and be a part of that wonderful thing. Here the disciples were part of it. A few hours later they forgot all about it. As if it had never happened. They considered not the miracle of the loaves. How they had grown so calloused and so dull to the things of God, that the feeding of the 5,000 just bounced off them as if it was nothing special. Isn't it sad whenever we see believers start to fall away in their love for the things of God? It's sad to observe those who were once on fire for the Lord, those that had a fervent spirit in serving him, those that rejoiced over the simplest things of the word of God, and they just start to fall away. And it's as if the word of God just seems so dull to them. It's sad to observe it. It's even worse to feel it. It's worse to acknowledge that that's you. And that's your own heart. 1 Samuel 12 says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. I wonder this morning, do you remember what God has done? Do you remember how God has helped in times past? Do you remember how he has undertaken? Do you remember how he had worked in ways we never thought were possible? Just as we thought this was it, how God stepped in and saved us and helped us. I wonder this morning, as the table spread before us, will you remember that great work of Calvary? Again, whenever we think of how the feeding of the 5,000 just became so dull to these disciples, I wonder, has that great work of salvation just become so dull? Have you just got used to saying, Jesus died for me? Here we have an opportunity to remember him once again and remember the great things he has done for us. They considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. I wonder, is there a heart here this morning? And the Lord's been speaking to you.
even though there is that callous, even though there is that hardness, has God broken through? Do you understand? Do you see where you are? Are you wondering what it is we do now? Psalm 103, the psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Recount all that God has done." And what's the first thing he mentions? "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Oh yes, God has helped us many times in our lives, but how he has helped us in the greatest way of all. How he has saved our precious souls. How he has forgiven our sins and cleansed us of all unrighteousness. Again, we have an opportunity to remember that this morning. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." How much God does for you and he does for me. And even as we start to think on those things, how much of it we forget. How there's many instances we try and look back on and we just can't really see the picture clearly. And yet even then he doesn't forsake us. Even then he doesn't regret helping us. But he still loves us. And he still wants to help. Is there a hardened heart this morning? Come to him. Return unto that first love. And know again those great joys of blessing, of peace, contentment, even enjoyment for a life that served living for him.